Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymere Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymere.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at Graymere Church of Christ.
And make this place your home. You won't hear any better preaching from God's Word than what you're going to hear from Andrew Phillips, and you won't be around anybody that'll love you more, that'll work any harder and sacrifice any more for you and for God's kingdom. Just this weekend is an example of the sacrificial spirit from giveaway day yesterday, and tonight you're going to have trunk or treat, and I've already got three hot dogs earmarked, so stay out of the way. And then you've got the Columbia Bible Institute going on this week as well, and I just want to thank all of you for what you are doing to make this happen, and for all of you who are visitors, there could be no better home than where you're at right now tonight. As we start off the Columbia Bible Institute, if you're visiting with us, you may not know what that is, but this congregation for the last 15 years has hosted a preacher's retreat here. It was overseen for about 13 years by William Woodson and Tom Holland. Brother Woodson passed away about 3 years ago, and Brother Holland, as well as John Vaughn, also has helped to direct that through the years, have carried on. But now Brother Holland has decided to retire and step back. And so as we look to the future, I remember a few years ago the elders came to me and said, Kirk, as we look to the future, someday Brother Tom and Brother William are going to want to step down. Who do you know of that caliber? And I said, there's one person at the top of that list, and that's Dan Winkler. Dan is one of the most sought-after speakers in the brotherhood. He and his brother Mike and his late father Wendell have written countless books, and he and Mike continue to write books that are blessing churches all over the brotherhood. And I came to love him through his son, whom I love. Matthew and I got to work together for 2 years at the McMinnville congregation. In fact, our leadership award at our preacher's camp here at Graymere is named in his honor. And we've been to birthday get-togethers together over at their house in McMinnville. And so I respect him because of his love for God's Word and passion for preaching, but I love him as a brother. And when I went to him, I didn't know if he would be able to fit us into his schedule because he simply didn't have room for it. But he has a passion for preaching God's Word and for preachers. And we are incredibly fortunate that he has chosen to be a part of this work. And I'm grateful that he can share with you tonight from God's Word. My dear friend, Dan Winkler.
Good evening. No. We do it a little bit better than that in Huntingdon. It's just a small town. Good evening. Now, that's a lot better. We're so glad we can be here. I hear that you have had an extremely busy weekend. Amen? But I'm so grateful for the Graymere Church of Christ and all of the good that you have been doing and that you continue to do for the glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I understand that even tonight is a special night. Now, apparently Kirk did not get the memo when the brother got up and said, after services, all of our children will dress up and put their masks on. Because I think he's already wearing his. Now, I do need to ask you, where did you get your mask?
My mother, she's sitting right back there.
Oh, well, we're not going any farther with that then. I was going to say you got Rook, but we'll not go that far. I feel very humbled to be a part of the Columbia Bible Institute. There's no brother in Christ that has meant more to the kingdom and to my life personally than Tom Holland. I followed him at the Creve Hall Church of Christ, where he had preached for 16 years and for 11 wonderful years. I was blessed to serve that great church. I'm saddened that he's retiring from this great work. Brother William Woodson was my personal mentor, one of my key professors in graduate studies, a relationship that developed into a very dear friendship that lasted for almost 2 decades. And I miss him incredibly to this very day. I just wish I could pick up the phone. When his sweet wife, Jean, passed away last year, I felt like a part of me was empty again. Because as long as she was alive, still a part of him was alive. And so now I miss him even in a more acute fashion. But I am so grateful for this good work, for the men that we're going to be spending some time with and their desire to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm looking forward to being recharged by these wonderful men and all that they will have to share with each of us over the next several days. And thank you as a church for making this particular work a possibility. His name was Matthew. And his daddy is a preacher. Matthew himself shared his own faith in his life. But tragically, in the prime of life, he was ushered into eternity by the shot of a single bullet. The victim of what they are saying is borderline personality disorder. His father misses him to this very day. His father thinks about what he might be as a man today. His father's name is Rick Warren, preacher for a megachurch in Saddleback, California, better known to us perhaps as the author of the book, The Purpose Driven Church, and its sequel, The Purpose Driven Life, who, like many other fathers, mourns the death of a son named Matthew, who at the age of 29 died from a self-inflicted wound in his own hand, a gun. Despite his tragic loss, Mr. Warren talks to us about happiness. Happiness, he says, is a choice. You are the only person who can make you happy. You are as happy as you choose to be. All week long at the Columbia Bible Institute, we're going to be talking about a book of the Bible that is dedicated to the subject of happiness. We call it the Epistle of Ecstasy. It is, of course, the New Testament book of Philippians. It might interest you to know that the words joy, rejoice, glad, gladness appear no less than 19 times in these four chapters of the New Testament. That is an average of almost five times a chapter. Indeed, God wants us to know His plan for our life as Christians. And it is to rejoice in the Lord, Philippians 3 verse 1. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice, Philippians 4 verse 6. We are to be the happiest people on the face of the earth. Happiness. As you turn back to the Old Testament, it is the book of Proverbs that tells us in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 13, that a merry heart makes for a continual feast. It is Proverbs chapter 15, or verse 7, chapter 17, verse 17, that tells us that a merry heart does good like medicine. Even back in the days of Solomon, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, God wanted people to know that His plan for man's life was true happiness. Many have been the outstanding quotes of happiness. And as you think of them, some people view happiness as, well, as madness. Ernest Hemingway, the author, not known as a very happy person, said, "Happiness is in intelligent people is the rarest thing I know." At the same time, Mark Twain said, "Sanity and happiness are an impossible combination." Really? really. To others, happiness is connected to memory. Don't cry because it's over, Dr. Seuss says. Smile because it happened. Memory. And then John Lennon of the Beatles fame, count your age by friends, not tears. Or years, count your life by smiles, not tears. Memories. Then when it comes to happiness, there are others that view happiness as a mindset. It's Dale Carnegie that says, happiness doesn't depend upon who you are or what you have, but he goes on to say, it depends solely on how you think. Abraham Lincoln, people are just as happy as they make up their mind to be. So ladies and gentlemen, tonight, I need you to know that happiness is a choice. Every morning you awaken to make a choice. I will live this single day of my life and choose to be a person in miserable existence, or choose to be a person of a merry heart. What will be your choice tomorrow morning? It all depends on how you choose to think. So tonight, I direct your attention to the words of a man in whom we can find true happiness, Jesus Christ. No less than four times in the New Testament, it is Jesus that said, "Be of good cheer." It might interest us to know that those words actually translate just one verse in the Greek New Testament. It is a verse that means literally, keep on being of good cheer. And it is a word that is set before us, not as a suggestion, but rather as an imperative. We are commanded to keep on being of good cheer. I believe it's the English Standard Version that translates the word as take heart. We are commanded to continually take heart. These are words that come from Jesus Himself. The last time that Jesus used the phraseology, take heart, is in John chapter 16, verse 33. In the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So let's turn to Jesus and see what Jesus directs our thoughts to as the source of true happiness. Some things that we need to be thinking about if we want to choose a merry heart tomorrow morning. Before the Lord's words, consider the words of Henry David Thoreau. Happiness is like a butterfly. The more you chase it, the more it will elude you. But if you turn your attention to other things, it will come and set softly on your shoulder. From the Lord Jesus, three other things that we need to focus our attention upon so that happiness will come and land on our shoulders. Three times in the book of Matthew, we find Jesus saying, be of good cheer. I'm going to ask you to turn with me, first of all, to Matthew chapter 9. And together, let's consider verses 1 and 2. He got into a boat, crossed over, and came to his own city. Now, if I were to go back to Matthew chapter 4, verse 13, I would learn that his own city is probably a reference to Capernaum, his headquarters, if you please, for his ministry, rather than Nazareth, his hometown. Because Matthew 4, verse 13 tells us that he left Nazareth and went to Capernaum. And so he got into a boat and crossed over the Sea of Galilee and came to his own city, Capernaum, on the shores of Galilee. Then, behold, they brought to him a paralytic. A paralytic. A paralytikos. para alongside. Leuptikos, luo, loosened. An individual whose limbs were loosened alongside. I don't know if this man's arms hang to his side. I don't know if his legs were limbs that would not work because they hung to the side. I don't know if he was a paraplegic, a quadriplegic. I do know it says that they brought to him a man whose limbs were loosed alongside the torso of his body. And he was lying on a bed. More literally, this individual had been thrown onto a bed where he remained. He couldn't get off of the bed because his limbs were loose alongside the torso of his body. I keep reading. When Jesus saw their faith, the faith of the individuals that brought the paralytic to Jesus, He said to the paralytic, "Son," and here is our operative phrase, "be of good cheer. I command you to keep on taking heart." And then these words, "Your sins are forgiven you." Now, if I am to set my mind on something other than happiness, only for happiness like a butterfly to eventually come and land on my shoulder, the first thing that Jesus tells me to set my attention upon is the concept of your sins are forgiven you. The Old Testament puts it this way, blessed, literally happy, is the man whose sins are forgiven. Psalms 32, verse 1. It is in the epistles that the Apostle Paul writes, Ephesians 1, verse 7, that through His blood, Jesus, we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. Forgiveness. What a thought, concept. Actually, the word that is translated forgiven in our passage of the evening is a word that combines two terms together. One word is a verb that means to send. Another word is a preposition that means away from. It is a word that means to send away from. Psalms 103, verse 12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That, ladies and gentlemen, is forgiveness. It is God taking the guilt of your past and sending it far away from your presence and your record in His heart. Be of good cheer. Every decision that you made in the past that should not have been made has been sent away from you. You can know the joy of forgiveness. Now, the word that is translated forgiven elsewhere in the Bible is translated, for example, remission. "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins." Acts 2, verse 38. "For the sending away of your sins." The verb form means to liberate, to free. "Repent and be baptized to be freed from your past." Acts 2, 38. "Whoever believes on Him shall receive the remission, the aphesis, the sending away, the freedom from, liberty from his, hers sins." Acts 10, verse 43. In Acts 26, about verse 18, repentance was to be preached for the remission, aphesis, freedom, liberty, the sending away of sins. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight, we can stand before you and say, if you have a faith that serves as a dynamic that moves you to change the way you think in repentance, a faith that serves as a dynamic that moves you to be immersed in water, it is the blood of Jesus Christ that sends the decisions of your past far away from your record in the heart of God, and He sees you as though you had committed those sins never, ever before. "Their sins will I forgive, and their iniquities will I" what? remember no more. Now that is what I need to concentrate on all day long. Focus my attention on the fact, now there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit, Romans 8, verse 1. Because of my faith, because of my repentance, because of my baptism, via the blood of Jesus Christ, I am forgiven of my past. I am not condemned in my future. I can know the assurance of heaven in my present. And that is what I need to focus my attention on. And guess what happens? When I live all day long knowing I'm right with God, happiness comes like a butterfly and lands on my shoulder. What a thought. But turn with me secondly to Matthew chapter 9, verse 22. If we began reading with verse 18, it says, "While he spoke these things to them, behold, a ruler came and worshipped him, saying, 'My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her, and she will live.' So Jesus arose, followed him, and so did his disciples. Suddenly, a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment, for she said to herself, 'If only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well.' But Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said," and here is our operative phrase, "Be of good cheer. I command you, daughter, to keep on taking heart. Your faith has made you well." The word translated well, literally, saved. Not spiritually, in context. Your faith has made you saved from your physical disorder. And it is a term that means your faith has made you saved from your physical disorder, a consequence in which you will remain. Did you see how the phrase "be of good cheer" is directly attached to faith? Faith in whom? Faith in physicians? She had worked with him for 12 years, spent all that she had. They had done her no good. Faith in the fates of life. She had been for 12 years a victim of it. Faith in the goodness of her fellow man. Where are they in the context? She stands before Jesus alone. Faith in her family. Who were they? Where are they in the context? Faith in God? Perhaps. But in context, if only I may touch His garment, I shall be made well. Faith in Jesus. Be of good cheer, your faith in me has rendered you saved from your physical malady, a status in which you will remain. Faith in Jesus. Let not your hearts be troubled, agitated. An imperative. Believe in God. An imperative. Believe also in me. The words of Jesus, of course, in John 14. Verse 1. To believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Except you believe that I am He, you'll die in your sins. John 8:24. A plight that brings misery. But to believe as a dynamic that moves me to repent. To believe as a dynamic that moves me to be baptized. Results in forgiveness. Faith in Jesus Christ, moving me to do what Jesus Christ commands, resulting in forgiveness, allows me to make a choice in the morning
to focus on the one in whom I believe and the blessing that flows from what He has made possible. Faith in Jesus. And so last of all, I direct your attention to Matthew chapter 14, verse 27. In Matthew 14, verse 27, we find Jesus in what has been called one of the greatest stress-packed days of His life. It is on this day that Jesus sought isolation for the sake of prayer. Because it is on this day that He's learned of the death of His cousin, His co-worker, His friend, John the Baptizer. Not only is John the Baptizer dead, but he has been executed. Not only has he been executed, he's been executed in a way that mutilated his body. The word is brought to Jesus and he seeks isolation for the sake of prayer. But in his status of solitude, a crowd learns of his presence and they make their way to his location. He sees them. He has compassion upon them as a shepherd upon sheep. He has them sit in various groups, and this is the occasion in which he takes the meager substance of a little boy's lunch sack and feeds 5,000 plus human beings. The events of the day are over. He places his disciples in a boat, verse 22, and he sends the multitude away. Now read with me, beginning with verse 22. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side. Well, he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself, and that for the very purpose that he sought earlier in the day, to pray. He wanted to talk to God about his feelings and share his grief with his heavenly Father. He was alone there. But the boat, that is the boat in which the apostles were, was now in the middle of the sea. John tells me that would have been about 3.5 miles out to sea. And it was being tossed, literally tortured by the waves, for the wind was contrary. That is, the wind was against them or in front of them. Now in the fourth watch of the night, from 6 to 9, the first watch, from 9 to 12, the second watch, from 12 to 3, the third watch, from 3 to 6, the fourth watch of the night, in the dead of the night, in the darkest part of the night. Jesus went to them. Ladies and gentlemen, when life is its darkness, when life is its darkest, there's someone ready to come to your side. He went to them walking on the sea, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It's a phantom," literally, "it's a ghost." And they cried out for phobia, fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, and here's our operative phrase, "Be of good cheer. I command you to keep on taking heart in this circumstance." And then he continues and explains why they could take heart. "It is I. Do not be," phobos, phobia, afraid. The words that Jesus used are far more emphatic than what we have translated. You see, in the succinct language of the Greeks, they would have in the verb form itself the pronoun implied. And so all Jesus had to do was just employ a verb. And he did. A verb that means, "I am," or "I am here." But when they wanted to emphasize a point, they would attach the pronoun along with the verb. And that's what Jesus does here. So watch what he says to these men. "I command you to keep on taking heart in this circumstance. It is I. Be not afraid." He directed their attention away from their circumstance to His very presence as one who came to them in their darkest moment. Oh, the friendship of Jesus is something else I need to keep in mind all through the day to contribute to a status, a mindset of happiness. It was Jesus Himself that said in John 15:14, "You are my friend if you keep the things I have commanded you." And so tomorrow morning, you will have a choice to make. You can choose to be miserable and all day long live that way. And you can even try to make those around you miserable as well, and will succeed with some, possibly. Or you can choose a merry heart. Now, if you choose to be happy and you search for happiness alone, it will elude you, if indeed the words of Thoreau are correct. But if you focus your attention on something else, like a butterfly, happiness will come and land on your shoulder. And you'll recognize all through the day at day's end, I was as I chose to be of a merry heart. Jesus tells us this is what we can focus on. We can focus on the forgiveness that we have in the heart of God because of His, Jesus' blood. We can focus on the faith that we have in Him. Jesus is God's Son. We can focus on the friendship, the friend that we have in Him as one who will always come to our side in our darkest moments. Indeed, I have found a friend in Jesus. On one other occasion, the phrase, "be of good cheer," is used in connection with Christ. Actually, He did not use it, but rather His disciples. It's in Mark chapter 10, verse 49, where a blind man cries for the help of Jesus. He takes pause, calls for the man, and His disciples go to the blind man and say, "Rise," and here's our operative phrase, "be of good cheer. He is calling you." I want you to remember that tomorrow morning. Rise. Get out of bed in the morning and know that Jesus Christ is calling you. He's calling you to a mindset of forgiveness. He's calling you to a mindset of faith. He's calling you to a mindset that focuses on your friendship with the Son of Man who was the Son of God. Focus on those three observations. Be of good cheer, and at day's end, see if you weren't of a merry heart. Satchel Paige, of baseball lore, said, "How old would you be if you didn't know how old you were?" Hey, that's a great question. There are some of us that are 40 who by our mindset and the way that we live could pass for an excellent 95-year-old. My mother-in-law turns 93 in February. She has such a positive spirit. She awakens to every day as a gift from God. And she could pass easily for a 40-year-old. She lives with us. Knowing that she lives with us, now you know who is the younger that could pass as somebody that's 95. In the morning, remember, you have a choice to make. Do you know the forgiveness of God's heart? as one who, because of your faith, has changed the way you think in repentance, been immersed in water to have your sins taken away by the blood of Jesus? If not, and you want true happiness to be yours, we can help you do that tonight, even right now, as we stand together and sing.
Loves me, how I love Him. He is risen, He is coming. Lord, come quickly. Alleluia. Precious is He. He that cometh, I will love Him, I will serve Him when He comes.